Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to What's Burning. Got my UCLA brother in here, Jelani McCoy. Man, let's get right to it. Y'all don't know how long it took me to set this shit up, so I'm
eager to get it going. Y'all should be proud.
We got it going. I'm on the road right now, coming to you from Sacramento. Kings just lost to a tough Hornets team. Man, I was telling you guys last night in the group chat, I saw LaMelo play live for the first time. Ooh, that motherfucker's cold, boy.
It's electric.
Oh, man. He was in foul trouble the whole first half. He had 3 points, 7 assists in the first half. Only played like 8 minutes. And then the second half, he ended up with like 25 and 12 and 6. It was like...
He's one of those rare players. He can score 2 points and dominate a game, too.
Yeah, it was crazy. So, man, let's get to it. Last week, great week on the Laker front. All the smoke. We got Jack to fly to Cali and had Magic Johnson, who will be our first show of 2023 live experience. DJ Quick perform, or was the DJing that night. Great vibe. Shout out to home H-Wood Group, Beverly Hilton, Legends. The whole Malka and Showtime team. Thoughts on it? You were there.
Legendary. Remarkable. Having Jack out, you know, getting surrounding him with some brotherly love, getting him back out the house again, starting to get him back, you know, getting acclimated to work. But the love and energy and light that surrounded the building, I believe, was medicine to him, I believe. Yeah. At some point, at time during the interview, Magic started to realize, you know, we had black folks out there looking good at the top of the Beverly Hills Hotel. And I think he did say something about that, you know, address that to the crowd. Everything was first class. Yeah, shout out to the Showtime and Malka team and everybody. Shout out to you. The speech was amazing. Your pregame speech was amazing. Very Maximus Gladiator-ish. You know, was proud to see your speeches are evolving. I'd like to know how you felt going up there. That's your guy.
I mean, I thought it was dope. I mean, for us to be able to grab Magic Johnson, you know, someone I've looked up to since I was a kid, you know, to call him a friend and a brother, and then to actually get him locked in on all the smoke. It's been similar to Will Smith. Been trying to get him for years. You know, he blessed us with some time last week, and again, a live show on top of that. The vibe was incredible. The funny part, I hope that we edit and show when I had to take a quick pee break and Paul Pierce just jumped up on the couch with Jack and started, I hope we keep that in there. That shit was perfect. Like, it was just so, wasn't planned. That he just hopped up and kept the show going. So I thought that was dope. But in other news, bad Laker news. Obviously, Anthony Davis goes down with the foot injury. He's been playing absolutely unbelievable, averaging about 27 and a half and 12. Hurt himself against Denver. Didn't look too bad. But they say he'll be out for a handful of weeks. Again, I think this season, of all seasons I can remember outside of the bubble, like, Anthony Davis kind of reminded the world who he is. He's been playing tremendous basketball. But another injury, an unfortunate, random injury. But Jelani, is this who Anthony Davis is? When he's healthy, he's incredible. But the hardest thing is to keep him healthy.
We don't like to play games with people with injuries. You know, we're not in those locker rooms every day. It looks like AD is trying to turn the corner and be, you know, serviceable for as close to 82 games that he has. He started the game, remember, wincing through back injuries, you know, playing in the first couple games of the season. So I think this is, you might have to just logically, as when you're assessing your talent in the front office, you might have to accept that AD may need somebody you know, to run against him, an understudy. I think Thomas Bryant is, you know, Thomas Bryant got injured, Thomas Bryant was a hell of a player.
He's solid.
He was a double-double. DeAndre-ish with jumper. I look at guys like that, but I think AD's always going to need somebody on the side to, you know, here and there when these injuries or even just when he needs to take time off to step in and be able to be productive at his spot.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unfortunate. I mean, he's so talented. And again, I think this last run of maybe 6 to 8 weeks, like, he's really imposed his dominance on the game and shooting a high field goal percentage. It seemed like the Lakers and LeBron, they were running through AD, and the team had been playing a lot better. You know, LeBron was able to be himself by still running through AD. Russ has bought into his role. Shout out to D-Ham. The role players have been playing well. But obviously, this is a huge hit. So they actually come to Sacramento tomorrow. So I'll be calling that game. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of energy this team has, knowing that, you know, their go-to guy is going to be down for about a month.
They should be used to it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Next up. Something weird, man, and I hate it because it's coming from former players. I'll start with my brother Eddie House, how he was disrespectful to the Orlando Magic when they played a home and home with the Celtics. The Magic beat them the first time in Boston. Eddie says some low-key disrespectful shit, and then, you know, with this new schedule, it was a home and home, so Orlando got him the next time they played, you know, the day after, 2 days after, in Boston, and you know, some of the Orlando players trolled him with the Rafer Austin slap during the playoffs when Rafer slapped Eddie, and Eddie got into the back and forth and told him to, you know, win one of these and holler. But again, Eddie House being my brother, I just don't like that kind of, like, I don't feel like why do we feel like we have to disrespect this generation of players? Again, our job as former players is tough because we have to be critical, and sometimes, you know, for me, I'm, you know, critiquing former teammates or whatever it is, but I feel like you can still be critical without disrespecting. And then this bum-ass motherfucker Wally Szczerbiak is just completely disrespecting. Yeah, exactly. Tyrese Haliburton, who's leading the league in assists, calling him a fake all-star and fake this and fake that. I'm just like why? Like, what's the point of that? Like, what do you get out of that? You know, and I'm on a regional network. You know, I'm out here in SAC doing NBC Bay Area, but it's just like, I don't see why former players feel like it's their spot, or that does it make them feel better to disrespect these guys. Like, to me, this shit is super weak. I don't like it. What do you think?
Some of us have more G14 classified than others. I'm well aware of that. You know, we have all of us as former players. If you're going to hop on these devices and get in front of people, we all have a responsibility to do a little better. I feel like it's too easy for, you know, former players to take shots and digs, you know, while they got the camera in front of their face. But I know it's a hard job, because at the end of the day, that's how they're going to keep their job. You know, there's been a handful of players that have been able to, you know, get their sea legs and criticize, you know. I don't know what Wally Szczerbiak is talking about. And last time, you know, I knew he was on the shoulders of a lot of other great players, you know, soaking up some minutes and shots, and then they were left around. I know he might have some moments, but I don't think he has the G14 classified to be speaking up like he's Shaq or KG or anybody else for that matter. So I think it's on them. They got to go do better, and they got to go look in the mirror and figure out how they want to be leaders.
Yeah. I mean, I think you hit it. You know, obviously there's been talk of, you know, Shaq and Kenny, and those guys are G14 classified. So, I mean, if they're going to talk their shit, they're going to talk their shit. But I just, you know, outside of those two guys in particular, it's just like there's been 5,000 players in the history of the NBA. So that's why it bothers me when former players feel like they have to shit on the younger players, because out of the history of the game, only 5,000 people have ever played this game, and everybody in the world wants to be in the NBA, so these guys can respect and understand how hard it is for these young boys to kind of make their way. But I just see it so often, man. It's just like, man, it's a tough position. But if you know the game well enough, you can talk about plenty of other shit. And again, we have to critique. That's part of our job. But to me, you can critique without disrespect, and I thought what Wally Szczerbiak did was some bitch ass shit, and I didn't even like what Eddie House did, and that's my homeboy. So it's just like, man, we got to do better as former players, like you said, to have this camera in our face, and it is our obligation to report back to the fans. So
you can't lose the
youth. Anyway,
yeah, we can't lose. Nah, the
come on, man. That's how you get that. That's how you get that disconnect. That's how you get that disconnect, and that's why younger players don't fuck with older players, because of stupid shit like that. So Anyway, moving on, the Nets are creeping up the Eastern Conference ladder. Over the last 10 games, Kevin Durant is at 33-7-5. I've always said, and we haven't really got a chance to see this line with this whole team since they've been to Brooklyn. There's always been so much outside noise. You know, KD was hurt when he first came. Then they're able to get James, and then Kyrie kind of goes on his hiatus and, you know, not vaccinated, and then all the stuff that was going on this year. And it seems like all this stuff is behind them. And when these two guys in particular, Kevin and Kyrie, just get a chance to play straight basketball, there's not too many people in the history of the game that are better than these two guys. So it's beautiful to see that, you know, Jacque Vaughn has these guys heading in the right direction. 3.5 back from the number one seed, and, you know, that they were terrible, you know, just not too long ago. So what are your thoughts on the Nets kind of climbing the ladder now that the outside knows the silence and basketball is to the forefront?
I mean, I think we hinted to this a couple of WBs ago on my fill-ins about how Jacque Vaughn might have been that guy for this team, and it seems like he is. He's been able to keep this team close together and just hoop and, you know, ignore the outside nonsense that's going on, you know, whether it's, you know, ownership or, you know, media. It seems like KD has G14 classified, so it seems like his comment might have put fire in some people's ass, you know what I mean, including himself. And Kyrie. So we talk about, you know, the Nets for a reason, because at the end of the day, I think we said nobody, if they ever get this shit together, don't nobody want to see the Nets in the East except for a handful of teams. And that could flip flop with injuries. And, you know, the NBA, the storylines are just awesome. Health is going to play a big part. And it seemed like they're, you know, they're getting a couple pieces back and staying healthy. And I think they're going to still, I think the Nets are going to be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to me. You know, you see that they're looking to actively trade Joe Harris, but they got him back. They got Curry back. TJ Warren, someone who's very underrated, who I like a lot, got him back in the mix. So it'll be interesting to see if they make any moves before the All-Star break. But, you know, anytime you have Kyrie and KD healthy and just playing basketball, it's a hell of a two-man game, man. So wish them the best of luck and happy for them just to be able to play basketball. Right. Breaking news here on What's Burning. The Phoenix Suns have been sold to a gentleman named Matt Ishbia. Excuse me if I mispronounce his last name. Michigan State grad. If I'm not mistaken, I think he was a walk-on basketball player there who's in the mortgage space now, but the Suns have been sold. I think it's good. You know, the Robert Sarver situation, to me, he didn't get enough heat because so much shit came right after him, the Ime Udoka stuff and then the Kyrie stuff, so no one really got to focus on what kind of piece of shit Robert Sarver is, but glad that this transaction has happened for the sake of the NBA. Again, there's no room for racism or sexism or just being a bad fucking person. Yeah, isms, and that's what Robert Sarver was. So, congratulations, gone. Congratulations, the Suns have been sold to a guy with some morals and integrity, and you know, I hope he continues to help this team climb the ladder. Phoenix is a great city, great fan base, you know. So I wish CP and Book and those guys the best. Now back to your regularly scheduled program. Donovan Mitchell, Eastern Conference Player of the Week, 4 straight wins. Best home record in the NBA, third in the East currently. Lon, is this a legitimate contender, you feel like, in the Eastern Conference, or let alone the league?
I do. I think I'm going to start rolling with Cleveland right now. Donovan Mitchell seems to, you know, there's the articles or the links to, you know, what his time has been like in Utah. And Wayne, how he's feeling a little bit more comfortable in Cleveland, you know. And I can imagine why, but I like this team. There's youth, there's experience, there's championship experience. They got an excellent coach. They got some pieces they can move around. They have length, they have speed, they have shooting, they have defense. I think they're the top defensive team in the league. So I think they're holding down the number one record at home and the number one record on defense for a reason. That's because they might be pretty good, you know. So I'm happy for these young dudes. You know, I hope they continue to stay healthy. Like we said, we all know that's a big part of it. Happy for Donovan. And I think they're going to remain up there, you know, top three, top four store spots in the East. And nobody might not be there to call their bluff at the end of the day. Mm, and sometimes that's what this shit comes down to. You can get, you know what I mean, galvanized and going on a good row, winning 7 out of 10 games every 10, 6 out of 4. You know, if you looking up, you still in that top three spot. You produced some winning habits for, you know, the 2023 season. Every season is different. So I like this Cleveland team, and I'm going to start rolling with them. Plus, they have Swish over there. You know, they hosted Swish and his Cleveland weekend from the Browns to, you know, courtside at the Cavalier game. So I'm happy that they, you know, acknowledge one of their former players, and I think I'm going to start rolling with the Cavaliers.
Yeah, definitely. Shout out Junior. I like this team. Again, young team, young coach, playing the right way. This Eastern Conference is just a motherfucker, though, man. The Celtics, the Bucks. I think this is a second round team, and like you said, if no one calls their bluff, I could see them making the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know if they're ready to represent the Eastern Conference in the finals, but I definitely think this team is headed the right way for all the reasons you said. I really like this team. You touched on the Donovan Mitchell situation. I didn't get a chance to read the article that Marcus Spears just did an interview with him, but it was. It caught my eye instantly because he was talking about kind of the energy in Utah. And Jack and I have been talking about this shit since 06, 07, or excuse me, the 07 season, when we said there's just racism. And he talked about being pulled over and how he was getting harassed until he showed his ID and who he was. And it made him think, like, what about the other black people here, you know, that don't have my position in power? Like, how are they treated, and how people can cheer for him one second, and then the next second, just the negative racial tension energy. And he spoke to obviously playing in Cleveland, where he sees more people that look like him, and he feels that a lot more comfortable. And it was crazy because obviously I didn't know this interview was coming, but when Cleveland came to Sacramento, I went down on the court and talked to him, and I'm just like, man, I have a great season. Like, how is, like, what's going on? What's changed? He's like, bro, I'm happy. I'm like, damn. That's all it takes is to be happy. And obviously, you know, hearing the backstory now, and it's crazy because how do you treat your franchise player? I mean, it just shows how much hate is really out there. And the fact that, and like I said, I haven't read the article yet. I look forward to reading the article. You know, Marcus Spears is a friend of the program, great guy. So looking forward to reading the article. But again, just the kind of the cliff notes I read on it, it just made me shake my head because, you know, this is something that's been pointed out. People want to continue to deny it. But there's just a lot of bullshit that goes on out there in Utah, and I'm glad it sounds like he respectfully kind of explained it.
It kind of makes you think, what was Karl Malone going through out there? Man. What was they doing to Karl? It's because Karl was 6'9", 270. They didn't want no smoke. You know what I mean? It's, you know, Karl really has never spoken up about these issues. John Stockton, it's Thurl Bailey. It's been a lot of brothers that played over there with the Jazz that are very not so as outspoken as we like to hear. I'd like to hear, like, how they were treated during their times. You know, are you pulling Karl Malone over? Is it the youth movement of the, you know, the hair and the cars and the chains, you know, that irritates it? Is it because Karl Malone was riding on motorcycles and driving trucks and shit?
That I'm wearing cowboy hats.
I'm just saying, you know what I mean? I like that. I'm like, I can imagine why he's happy back being in the 1999 in Cleveland, as opposed to, you know, stuck up there at Salt Lake. So I'm happy he's happy. And you know what happens when you're happy, you ball out.
I mean, shout out to Donovan Mitchell, man. We're happy for you. Happy that you're in a better place and you're more comfortable and carrying your team, man. So shout out to the Cavs and best of luck the rest of the way.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024. And we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next up, Money Talks, presented to you by Moneyline, the only money app you'll ever need. In the bubble, Jimmy Butler started a coffee company. He was charging his boys $20 a cup, but he has transitioned that into a profitable venture. And, you know, he's selling cups of coffee now, along with merch and other stuff. So thoughts on, obviously, the creativity in the bubble to create that first and foremost, and then, you know, 2.5 years removed from the bubble, he's turned this into an actual business.
Hats off to Jimmy. $20 a cup sound right for me, you know what I mean, for an NBA ball player. And, you know, we're staying at these hotels. You go down and get your coffee at the lobby, it's $20. He did some good market research. Sounds like he was on his shit. You know, e-commerce and him being able to wear his own shit on planes and in photos, and, you know, reach his fan base. Cause at the end of the day, these are probably Jimmy Butler fans, and he's got Chicago, you know, Miami, you know, there's Jimmy Butler fans in every market that he's played in. So I'm just happy that people are able to take what they do in their daily lives and things that they actually like and then profit from them, as opposed to making an infomercial for somebody else's product. At the end of the day, you know what I mean? I'm liking what's going on. You've had some opportunities to invest in some things, Legends being one of them, and other things that you've invested in your space, cannabis. How has it been for you using this to transition after basketball? Even before you got to, you know, a TV personality, you were a serial entrepreneur who had a couple
wins. I mean, before we get to that, shout out Jimmy Butler and Big Face Coffee. Make sure you guys check that out. I think it's great. You know, I think it's more, it's normalized now, people being able to transition into business. And, you know, me, and one thing I want players to understand too is there's a lot of times you can get equity in businesses for you. Like, you don't have to put a dollar in. And that's where I've been lucky at, being able to be someone who comes in the room every time as me and comes with creativity and ideas and facts and a great dot connector. So I've been able to acquire equity in companies just from being me. And I hope that's what some of these younger players understand. Sometimes there are times you need to invest to, you know, to help, you know, pull that. And I've done that with a few companies, but I just think it's a great time. You know, obviously financial literacy is something cool now. It never used to be talked about in the locker rooms when we were coming up. You know, we talked about women, cars, jewelry, houses. Yeah, we never talked about, you know, investing and that kind of shit. So I think it's dope that this is a normalized conversation now, and hopefully it'll help athletes, you know, not make the mistakes that athletes in the past have. Since we're talking about brands, shout out the homies from Eastside Golf. You know man. These two brothers out here, man, they just signed a brand deal with Jordan. So I'd love to see these two young entrepreneurs, man, doing their thing. If you guys see this, I need some more gear. I seen you guys sending people Jordan.
Yeah, he going to need some shoes. More because he gonna
need that. Like, I'm hitting the links. Got to watch out with these motherfuckers around. Yeah. I'm hitting the links as soon as I get off this set. So, man, shout out to Eastside, folks. I would have had my black sweatshirt on underneath the matchup, but it's too hot in my hotel room. But shout out to the homies at Eastside Golf, man. Y'all keep doing your thing.
And everybody getting it.
And that's a wrap for Money Talks, presented to you by Moneyline, the only money app you'll ever need. Next up, legendary moments brought to you by our newest sponsor, NBA Top Shot. Jelani, this is really taking off. I think it's super dope. Our friends are Top Shot are having started their 12 days of Hoopmas. So make sure you go check that out. Harrison Barnes and Cole Anthony right now are doing some cool giveaways from Top Shot on their Twitter. Memorable moments. If I can have a memorable moment as a Top Shot, I think it would probably be when Chris Paul threw the lob to DeAndre Jordan and Brandon Knight for some reason jumped. One of the most disrespectful alley-oops in the history of basketball. And Brandon Knight ain't been the same since. So I'm not sure where he's at, but we wish him well. But that was some fucked up shit. Anything come to mind for you?
It's in the same vein, I'm going to say, what is that, LeBron over JT?
Ooh, the lob from Let
me see that. Yeah, go on and mint that up for me and put that in the digital collection. Because that was just wrong. I felt bad for JT. Yeah, but at the same time, you got to have, sometimes you in there and you can't get out. Dudes are too big and strong and fast. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, once you leave that floor, you don't have that in the air turn or the glide by, you know, but at the same time, I forgot who that was, but he set that shit up perfectly for LeBron on JT. But nah, I think I would have to go with that moment.
That was tough. Ooh. Well, holiday packs are on sale, some of which are included rare, legendary, and highly coveted rookie collectibles like Paolo Banchero's first ever Top Shot moment, his monster dunk from his very first game. Guys, ladies, gentlemen, whoever's watching this, what is the Top Shot moment you want? Find it and go get yourself a Top Shot, man. Again, shout out to NBA Top Shot for jumping on board with the All the Smoke and What's Burning family. We appreciate you guys and looking forward to working with you guys. NBA Top Shot is giving away $100,000 in prizes during their holiday campaign. Sign up at NBATopShot.com today to learn how to win. On the Radar, presented to you by DraftKings, the New York Knicks. 7 straight wins. I love to see it. Basketball is better when New York is relevant. DraftKings has them at the over-under. Over 42.5 wins is minus 115. Under 42.5 wins is minus 105. With their streak of late, Jelani, you see them over 42.5 or under?
The message is coming to me. These are the Knickerbockers. They're playing really well. But some disaster could happen. But I'm going to stay. We know the young homie, Jalen Brunson. We've been down with him for a minute. I'm going to go over, man. I know that, like you said, basketball is better when New York is doing its thing. We need our Knickerbockers, you know, back in the light, back over there on the East. I'm going to say over, Matt. I'm
going to
be positive
to close. Yeah, I'm about to say I'm going to keep that positivity train running too. Love what Jalen Brunson has just brought to that team. You know, just a blue collar grinder. Mm-hmm. And I think his mentality fit perfect with Coach Thibodeau and Randall and the way these guys are playing, man. So hats off to the Knicks. Happy to see them finding their groove a little bit. And again, we hope this continues.
Bravo, New York.
Fan questions. It's the end of the year, man. It's been a hell of a year. Looking back, obviously looking forward to getting Jack back in the mix. Lon, you've done a great job stepping in and filling in his shoes. Obviously, we'll be adding Rachel to the mix come 2023. I don't know if I'm supposed to let that cat out the bag.
But
Rachel
will
be joining. Yeah, What's Burning. So definitely looking forward to that. But, man, we're going to end the year right here. So, at Jamaican Prince 03, favorite Christmas gift you've given or received?
That's tough, man. You know what? It's whatever my kids give me. It's the random cup holders. I got a couple of coffee mugs, you know what I mean? And I only use those when I drink coffee or, you know, whatever they make me. Those tend to be my favorite gifts out of the year. Christmas ornament, the little way they wrap it. I've seen a lot of dope Christmas gifts over the year. I lived a pretty charmed life. We both can say that, but I would have to say whatever comes from my kids usually ends up being my favorite gifts.
Yeah, the sentimental gifts. I don't know. It's random that it just comes to mind. But I remember I talked about this the other day, and I don't remember why. But I remember when I was younger, my first basketball. I remember my Magic Johnson and Larry Bird both had their own Spalding ball, and my mom knew I loved Magic Johnson, but she went and she said that all the Magic Johnson balls were sold out, so I had to get a Larry Bird ball, and I was mad as a motherfucker, but also happy to have my first basketball. So this is probably like 1987, 1988, but I remember that because I was looking forward to the signature of me. I got a Magic Johnson basketball, but I ended up getting Larry Bird. And I was disappointed, but at the same time, man, I was super happy to have my first basketball. So
now that you
shout out to Larry Bird, man.
Yeah, now that you said that, it reminds me when I was a kid and I got this Sugar Ray Leonard. I wanted the Sugar Ray Leonard boxing gloves. Remember the Sugar Ray Leonard boxing gloves with his
autograph? And they got you. They got you Sugar Smacks boxing gloves.
I did get knocked out by one of the older homies. But I live to fight another day. I'm here on What's Burning.
There you go. There you go. We got a friend of the program in the building.
This dude's getting entirely too much love too early, man. I don't know how this is happening. At Genomatic, at the moment, who do you think is the top player in the NBA? That's a good question, Geno. It's such a Geno question, too.
In the moment. Mm-hmm. I mean, three guys come to mind right now to me, and it's Jason Tatum, mm-hmm. Giannis, and mm-hmm. Steph. To me, you know, you can throw KD in there as well. But I'm going to go ahead and take Jason Tatum. Like I said, I mean, I think he's got his team playing great basketball. He personally is playing great basketball. I think he's odds on favor right now, him and Giannis, to win MVP. I know Luka can be in that mix too. But I really like what Jason Tatum has been able to do with his team and individually.
I like what Jason Tatum is doing right now. I'm obviously always going to be up there with Giannis, but the shit that Luka's doing with the lineups, man. And you know, the lineups that he has down there, and like not a lot of help, and the way he's scoring and the different creative shit that he's doing right now, he's almost must see, you know, he's up there with Ja as far as, you know, they're different watches. You're not going to get the super dunk and all the crazy shit, but the level of basketball that he plays in, the trifling Rollo shit that he get off when he plays, all the uncle shit that he does, you know, and all this weird shit, you know what I mean? Off balance, wrong hand shit is just amazing to watch, you know what I mean? I know his usage rate is high, but just to see somebody go out there night and night and do that shit over and over and over again, he's my top pick for the best player. It might switch next week, but we say it right here and now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Luka.
I don't think you can go wrong, obviously, with Luka and his workload and what he has to do for that team every single night just to have them in the game. Obviously, I don't think they got better in this offseason, with all due respect. You know, they made a beautiful run last season. Obviously, losing Brunson was huge, but I don't feel like they replaced him. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we're even talking about Dallas just shows how good Luka is. It's funny, too, because, you know, the Rollo shit you say he pulled out. This dude's still super young, but he's playing like a vet. So I look forward to his game maturing and him getting a little older, because you know the only more isms come with that time. So Luka's a cold boy. Luka, Tatum, cold. Giannis, Steph, KD. I don't think you can go wrong with either one of those five as far as who you feel the best player in the NBA is right now. Last but not least, at Nate.Burlingame, should the Blazers make any moves before the trade deadline? I want to say the Blazers are currently like in the sixth slot. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Dame is starting to find his footing. An up-and-coming young superstar, Anthony Simons. I saw him play in person and was super impressed with his game. To lose CJ was tough, but if you had to lose CJ, I don't think you could have replaced him with a better young player with possibly more of an upside. And I say that with all due respect, because CJ McCollum's a hell of a player in this league, but Anthony Simons is different. And then, mm-hmm. you know, Shaedon Sharpe has got a rocket up his ass. This dude is flying all over the gym. Jeremy Grant has been having a great season. But I feel like they need one more piece, you know, with the guys I named, and, you know, Nurkic is over there, but I feel like they need one more piece. I don't really watch them enough to know what it is, but I feel like they're a piece away, and I'm not sure what it is. But I mean, obviously, the guys I just named are all having, you know, playing their hearts out. And again, I love to see, obviously, for Dame's commitment, I just want to see Dame win. So, what are your thoughts with them?
What's dope is, you know, all the players that Chauncey talked about this summer and the offseason that he was looking forward to seeing during this upcoming season.
They're all doing
their thing. You know what I mean? So hats off to Chauncey for, you know, having the foresight and, you know, putting the confidence in the young players to let them know, hey, I'm about to let you rock. And it seems like, you know, they're up to the responsibility. I don't watch them enough, you know, same way as you, but I know they might, you know, They could use another piece, but we're not on the just get a piece just to get a piece thing. You know,
right.
Nowadays, it has to be the right piece. But, you know, shout out to Chauncey. They got new ownership over there, too, right? You know, the Blazers look like they're about ready to do their thing. So I'm just happy that, like I said, Dame gets to get back and, you know what I mean, and mention that, you know, not be playing well below 500 and in the toilet. He's actually up there fighting for a playoff spot. So happy for Dame. Of course, happy for Chauncey. You know, shout out to the Blazers.
Before we get out of here, also, Dame became the Portland Trailblazers' all-time leading scorer, passing the great Clyde the Glide Drexler. So even more reason to toot your motherfucking horn, bro. I think the reason why Dame doesn't get his just due is because of the team he's on and the fact that their best teams, in my opinion, coincided with the Warriors' dynasty run. Because Dame had some good Portland teams that would always run into the Warriors. But, you know, similar to Quick, again, like he hasn't been as mainstream in the market and as far as team performance to kind of get the recognition he deserves. But Dame will go down definitely as one of the coldest and greatest shooters to ever do it. So congratulations on passing Clyde and keep climbing, bro.
For sure.
That's a wrap. What's Burning? You can catch us every week on Showtime Basketball YouTube.
And on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Show Basketball.
Happy holidays, and we'll see you guys next year.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.